We're ready for the music and it'll be like seeing an old friend. Here it is.
There it is. Do you recognise the hat?
I do. I remember. We're back now.
We're back in our proper places.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the original theme tune there. Because we did put a challenge out just before we had our little podcast break. But sadly, no beatboxing middle-aged lady crew.
Well, there's a surprise.
Well, I was slightly disappointed. I thought there'd be quite a few percussive, beatboxing ladies out there. But sadly not. Just the original. But we await your alternative variations with bated breath. So are you glad to be back, Judy?
I'm very glad to be back. It's very much... Well, it is a Monday morning, isn't it, for us?
Yes.
It feels like the start of a new term.
It is. It has that feeling in the air, doesn't it? Because it's autumn time. And Daisy's been to Cyprus and she's got a tan and everything, so she wins the holiday prize.
And how?
Well, she went for a wedding, Judith. Have you ever been abroad for a wedding?
Never.
No.
And I don't think I would want to.
Well, we didn't do that in my day. I mean, I say my day.
Certainly
I mean,
not.
I'm probably the most recent of us. Well, definitely the most recent of us two to get married, because mine was only about 3 years ago.
I know.
Down the road.
Do you like weddings or not?
Not really. No, they annoy me.
Yeah, they go on. I don't mind them, but they bloody go on, don't they?
And do you know, I'd like, sometimes I go into, well, in the old days when you're allowed to go anywhere you liked, go into Peter Jones, you see all those fascinators, and I fancied doing a rampage through the fascinators, just stamping on them, because they just really annoy me.
Well, they're not very fascinating, are they? I mean, I've bought a fascinator in my day.
I haven't. I can't put anything on my head as well. I can't have glasses and a hat. You look fucking ridiculous. Them's the rules. You know, my favourite wedding was when it was in Brixton, right? And half the wedding party, it was Brixton register office, actually. If we're going to be pernickety, and why not? We've got time.
you mean, that's
Brixton
the mood,
register
you?
Office
Go
was
on,
there,
then, yes.
Right? And the reception was back at our mate's flat. But half the wedding party went missing because they popped into the bank. This is on the back in the day when, you know, banks were open. And they popped in the bank to get some cash to buy more alcohol at the party. And they were all held up by knife point.
Oh, that's stylish.
Isn't it? Isn't it?
That's...
And we were all back at this flat going, well, where are they? Where are the happy couple? And the sort of, you know, best man, etc. And there was this sort of big chunk of wedding party missing because they were face down on the floor in Brixton Bank.
That is seriously
stylish.
Isn't it good? Yeah, very good. Oh, I can't top that. I really can't top that. But there's always a moment, isn't there, about halfway through you just think, oh, I'd just like to sort of get these shoes off and go up to my room. I've done that. I think, you see, I think as you get older, you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to sneak off.
Yeah, if you've got a hotel room, it's fine. Because
you can just
go up and watch a film in the afternoon. Just
Run yourself a bar.
Take yourself a plate up. Because that's the point in weddings. I mean, the only point in a wedding, I think, I don't like a sit-down meal. I want a buffet so I can keep going back.
That's well, and also you don't get stuck talking. You know, that awful thing
who am I sitting
next
to?
Everything. Where are you from?
Table plan.
Oh, God.
Awful. So don't invite either of us. We're not interested.
No,
thank you very much.
Just bloody killjoys, aren't we?
Absolutely getting worse.
Pain in the neck. How was your... Anyway, yes.
You first, right? I want to ask you about your holiday first, because this was the holiday I couldn't go on because of family reasons. And that's fine. I've let it go.
Have you...
Not quite, Judith, because my jealousy levels, I mean, you know, I am bitter and spiteful and resentful and jealous all the time, but I had some spikes in my jealousy levels.
Did you?
When you were at the painting school.
So I went to the Norfolk School of Painting.
Yeah,
it was, so look, I'm stuttering because I'm so excited. I'm overexcited to tell you all about it, okay? And they just...
employ snore law if it goes on too long, by the way. Just to remind people of, you know, we have the snore law, which is when either of us are allowed to interrupt at any point with a... In case it gets a bit me, me, me.
All right. So let me just pay. So it wasn't all good, okay? So basically, I went to Norfolk. Don't know Norfolk, really. And I went the day, that last day of the summer. You know, there literally was the last day of the summer. I went that day. And I just took all the... I did the worst bit of packing I think I can remember ever doing.
Did you pack with a summer mindset?
Oh, I just casually threw a few things in. I forgot, okay?
Did you think you were Daisy going to Cyprus? Just like slinging a couple of bikinis and some golden wedges.
I mean, I was even going in the car, so, you know, I could have packed for every single eventuality. I didn't. I forgot to put in a coat, tights, proper shoes. So I had basically my high-vis cycling jacket, because I put my bike in. That was a bloody waste of time. Okay? Just picture this. Picture yourself meeting me at the art class on the first morning. Let me paint this picture of myself. My high-vis jacket.
Judith.
My jumpsuit, okay, but with
tights. That's fine.
Yeah, well, yeah, be fine.
You can't wear tights under a jumpsuit. That's an invitation to thrust.
Precisely. So no tights, but I was bloody freezing.
Yeah. You want a pop sock. You want a knee-length pop sock underneath that now.
And I hadn't got any of those things with me. So a white pair of socks, and the only shoes I took were a pair of red suede ankle boots, okay? I could see all these other people thinking, Jesus, what is this? Worse than that, the people that had very kindly given us the art class must have thought, well, who's drag, you know, look at her.
Well, it's the high-vis jacket that upsets me. You must have looked like you were going for a weekend cycling proficiency course. Not art. I mean, really? How embarrassing. I'm so glad I wasn't with you.
Well, exactly. You would.
I'd have had to disown you on the doorstep.
You would. So it was torrential rain. But listen, okay, so I get there. So excited. And honestly, it is a proper art school. So there's a proper artist, Martin Kinnear, who's kind of, you know, in residence and around.
Yeah.
And, you know, the kind of lobby is full of his amazing paintings. And there was one that I just totally fell in love with, which is one of his studies of a Manet, okay? So it's flowers and it's kind of loose, you know, and it's kind of dark, but it's pink as well. And it's got, oh, it's fantastic. And I fell in love with that painting. And I thought, well, that's how I would, you know,
were you thinking, okay, because you told me before you went that you wanted to go to find your style.
And exactly.
Now you're bothering me because you go and you see someone else's style and you think, well, I'm going to have that.
That's exactly what I did, Jenny. Of course you've got
We've talked about copying before, haven't we?
Yeah, look, stop it. You are bossy sometimes. So, yes, I did. I thought, yes, okay, that's what I'm going to aim
for. Here's my style. It's Martin's style, but I'm going to have it.
Well, it's Martin's style of a Manet, and I'm having both of them. Yeah, thank you.
It's not a bad mix, though. It's not a bad mix.
So we got there, and it's called Simply Oils. So it's three full days of painting. Simply Oils. And okay. I tell you what was brilliant about it is that it was all, basically you had a kind of project, you know, in each half day. So you had a project in, and so you went up to your easel. Oh, mind you, there was a bit of a kind of sort.
Is there a trot for the easels?
Oh, no, it was all, no. Oh, my God, no. Easels, absolutely ready to set up. All your palette ready. Everything at shoulder height, you know, all of that, all sorted.
Had they put the paint out on the palettes?
Oh, yeah. A technician, you know, sort of refilling everything, and between sessions, you know, would come and kind of change everything. Oh, it's, you know, properly you're sort of organised.
I like the idea of a studio lackey.
Yeah, very much
so. Fill up my thinner.
Fill up, yeah, whatever you liked, yeah. It was very, and I think very cleverly worked out.
Were they keeping you to a limited palette, Judith? I'm interested in somebody loading up your palette for you.
Oh, yes. Venetian red, yellow ochre, black, white, and ultramarine blue. So yeah, I think about eight colours.
Yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, that's enough. What did Judith paint?
Well, we painted. Well, no, okay. So listen, I've got to stop being so overexcited about it. Basically, their kind of raison d'etre, their approach to it is to say, right, we will teach you two sort of old master techniques, and you can then kind of vary off. You can scamper off from that to find your own style. So they taught sort of direct painting one day, and then ébauche, which is, you know, the one with my Manet painting. That was the one I was really concentrating on. I thought, oh yes, this is the one that's going to really count with my style.
Yeah.
And
what does it mean, though, ébauche?
Well, what it means, I think, is basically you start with this sort of translucent.
Yeah.
You start translucent and you get more kind of opaque. You get more and more white in it.
Yeah.
So you do these kind of shaped washes. So I did a Walter Sickert.
Yeah. You know that he was actually, they thought at one point he was the Ripper.
What do you mean?
Jack the Ripper.
They thought he was Jack the Ripper. slipper. Why did they think that?
Well, just because, Judith. Have you never heard that theory before?
No, I have not.
Well, because all the dates matched up, where he lived matched up. I mean, I'm not an expert on this. You know, you'd have to talk to my friend Julie Ballou, who loves a bit of Jack the Ripper stories and has read a lot intensively around the subject. So, yeah, there was a theory that went on for quite a long time. And I think quite a famous crime writer has written very thorough book about this, but I haven't read it, so I think there are going to be holes in my argument because I'm actually not making the argument because I don't know much about it. But Walter Sickert is a brilliant artist. I mean, a lot of sort of quite accessible still lifey stuff. Yes,
very much so. And you know, I think they'd obviously chosen something that you think, oh god, that looks difficult, but sort of achievable with the technique that they were showing us, which was brilliant. Martin Kinnear comes round occasionally when you're painting,
you know. Do you always call him Martin Kinnear? Not Martin, it's Martin Kinnear, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Martin
because you really actually respect this man, don't you, Judith? I can tell in your voice.
I was quite starstruck. I was really quite starstruck. And so he stood behind me and he said, range, Judith. Oh, range.
What did that mean?
I think it means, you know, you don't want it all filled in. Yeah. You don't want it all dark. You want some opaque, some translucent. Yeah. Range. Yeah. Thought that was
range,
very good.
Judith. Range.
Yes. Yeah. So I learned loads. I really learned. Well, I thought I learned loads.
But you really were pleased with what you did and what you brought home, weren't you?
I was.
Tell us what you brought home.
I was. Well, I brought home a Walter Sickert sort of attempt, which I quite like.
Walter Sickert. I wonder how much a real one would cost.
But I also, do you know what happened at the end of it? I said, I sort of, you know, we all sort of went our separate ways. And guess what they gave me? They gave me his painting of the Manet. So I've now got it in the summer house.
Sickert and a Manet in your summer house. You want to get some security on that.
I have to call the insurance. No, but I am absolutely thrilled with it because I think if I get lost, and of course I will get lost with my style, which I know you're very sneery about, but sod
it. No, not because I'm still desperately trying to find mine, Judith.
I mean,
it is confusing.
It is genuinely
because there's so much great art around. You look at
absolutely,
you know, Sickert's, and you think, oh God, wouldn't it be? Because I was a bit wrong when I said he did a lot of still lifes because he did a lot of interiors as well, a lot of people in interiors. I mean, just. Is those kind of quite big compositions where you just think, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, how many
fabulous.
People in the class, Judith?
10. 10.
Okay,
just
where
right.
did you rank yourself? Because I know, let's face it, we are very highly competitive women. And, you know, we always place ourselves by lunchtime on the first day. Where had you put yourself?
I was sort of bottom but one.
Oh,
and I think by the end, I may have been sort of in the middle of the group, really. There were a couple of...
Quick improver.
Yeah, an improver. That's the point, isn't it? You wait. Anyway,
I'm so jealous.
Now.
I really am. Because I thought that what you produced in your 3 days was actually really impressive. But what made me laugh the hardest was... and I'm really glad you posted it on the Instagram when you got back... Because I know you. You and I, we have bull in China shop tendencies where we go, right, we come back from something we've learnt. We go, I know it all now. Right, I'm going to knock off some masterpieces. I've got an hour before tea time. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to sit in the Wendy house and I'm going to just knock out something. It might be a little bit Van Gogh, a little bit this, a little bit that. Don't know, it's going to be really kind of a bit impressionistic. Flowers, going to do flowers in a glass vase. I just do, I'm going to mix some colours up. I know now, you know, I know what Martin said, I know this, but I'm just going to do it my way because I found my style a bit. Oh shit,
you have so got the measure of me. Oh,
it's exactly what
God.
I do, Judith, exactly.
It just all turned to shit. It's just a swirly dibby dabby doodah mess.
It wasn't shit at all, but I know exactly how you attacked it because I know you that well that you'd have just gone in there with so much enthusiasm and sort of new information and so keen to get it down on paper that you'd have gone so fast. I bet you knocked that off in about 25 minutes.
Maybe 40 minutes. Yeah.
And it's quite a big painting. Do you know what I mean? And there's a little bit of us where we have to pull back now and again and go... You know, not even the masters, not even Cezanne, not even Monet could do, you know, they spent a little bit more time, Judith.
Just a bit. Absolutely. Now, I've been very disciplined because I've done it again. So I thought what I'm going to do is I'll take a photograph of this vase of flowers and I'm doing it again. And I'm halfway through doing it again. And there's a huge improvement. So there you go.
I'm now very interested indeed. And I want to have a look at this when it's finished. So make sure you put it up on the notice board, as we call our Instagram account.
Yes, we do, don't we?
Yeah. Have you got that Instagram account address written down, Judith?
Oh, Jenny, that's a bit, you know, that's a sudden test.
We'll do it again at the end, but we'll just pop it in here.
Yeah, shall we just pop it in? Yeah. We'll pop it in. I love that verb pop, don't you? Older and Wider Podcast. That's what it is. The Instagram account, the notice board, what we call.
I'm glad you had a good time, Judith. I really am.
I did. So now listen, how was your trip up north?
Well, the reason why I couldn't come with you to... it's quite good, actually, Judith, because I think that, you know, together we're a bit too competitive and we'd have gone too fast. If we're together, we're just sort of,
you're probably,
you know,
right.
Anyway. So I couldn't come with you because I had family stuff to deal with, which was because it had been a couple of weeks since I'd seen my mum. I was starting to feel uncomfortable about that. So I wanted to check up on some bits and bobs and see that she was sort of settled into the nursing home. And of course, you know, the news broke just before, the week before, that, you know, there would be no more garden visits, which was really disappointing. But I just thought, well, you know, the least I can do is go up there and stand outside the window and wave and shout to her through the window.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. Jeff drove me up there. We had this sort of rather strange night in my mum's flat without her. I kept thinking she was still in the bathroom or something, and she was going to come out.
Oh, I bet you did. Oh, I can understand
and
that.
And I thought, well, where is she? She needs to go and make my tea.
Yes, that's right.
For heaven's sake, what are we having for supper? What's she done? Yeah. Has she made me a curry? And she wasn't there, which was, I did fall to pieces when we first walked in. There were the sight of a couple of things, very personal things. I mean, it was weird, really, because it was the sight of an empty caliper, actually, which sounds really morbid and mawkish and kind of a bit macabre, which it is, and it was. But there were, you know, it was everything else as well. It was, you know, a comb just left, you know, things that had not been packed because you can't take everything, obviously, to a nursing home. And so, you know, that was difficult. In the morning, I went up to see her. And, you know, she was brought to the window and she knows exactly who I am. You know, I mean, the confusion she's got comes in and out a bit. And, you know, she was absolutely, her face lit up. She was absolutely delighted.
Oh,
I started sort of screaming
lovely.
Hello and all this sort of thing. And then I realised the nursing home is triple glazed and neither of us could hear a single word the other one was saying from the other side of the piece of glass.
Oh, this is heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. There was a moment where I just sort of almost felt like just crumpling onto the pavement and just giving up, because it was not something that had crossed my mind, and I felt incredibly stupid. I felt like I'd set my mother up for a fall in some respects. I'd set her up for something nice, and then it couldn't happen because we couldn't hear each other.
Do you think she understood what was happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Totally.
Well, that's good. That's good.
She was kind of shrugging and going, you know, making faces and going, well, what can we do sort of thing?
Gosh.
And so I did just a lot of kind of blowing kisses and waving and all that sort of thing. And then, you know, I sobbed all over. The matron came out to have a socially distanced word with me, and I did a lot of sobbing then. And I just thought, well, you know, what can I do about this? I felt really stuck, and it only struck me a couple of hours later that, of course, the trick to do is to have your phone. So phone her and then have the nursing staff bring her the phone. So she's
good idea.
Yeah, but do you know what's complicated, Judith? It's complicated. So to make this more bearable, this trip up north, Jeff and I stayed at my mum's and then we went to Yorkshire for two nights.
Oh,
and
nice.
Judith, have you ever been to the Calder Valley?
I don't think I have.
Well, you've done a lot of the north because you used to live in Hexham.
Yeah, I know, but I can never remember the names of anywhere, so I probably have been there, so I don't know. The Calder Valley.
Well, you might recognise this because it was the backdrop for, you remember Happy Valley, that Sarah Lancashire cop
show? Oh, I do.
Do you remember that one where James Norton played the psychopath?
Total psychopath, wasn't he? I think that was the first time I noticed James Norton. That was a good series.
Oh, that was a good series. And he was also in Grantchester at the same time. And then I started to become a little bit of a stalker of of James Norton, but there we go. And we had this Airbnb, Judith, and it was in the Calder Valley, somewhere I've never really heard of, and it was just a lucky, there was nothing in Hebden Bridge. I was sort of hoping for Hebden Bridge because I thought, if I'm going to be in Yorkshire, I want to be in the sweet spot between those three art galleries, you know, the Yorkshire Sculpture Park, the Barbara Hepworth Museum in Wakefield, and the David Hockney Salt Mills at Salt Air. You've got to be organised these days, Judith, because you can't just wander in and out, can you, these days?
No, I'm very impressed, though.
No, I know. So we found this place sort of by accident, and, oh, it was idyllic. It was idyllic, Judith.
It was
nestled into, you know, a proper rolling, dippy valley, big highs, undulating lows, shafts of light, cows on the hillside, sheep and all that.
Oh, how lovely.
Absolutely. Whitewashed cottage with views. And it belonged to this girl who lives in New York at the moment. So her mum lived next door, probably about my age, but looked younger because all fresh air and no worries. And she she'd left a sponge cake, a Victoria sponge.
Oh, wow.
In the kitchen for Jeff.
Did you not have any of it at all?
No, I didn't, because I don't eat sweet things.
My goodness.
Jeff made very good work of it, though.
I bet he did. I now understand why Jeff married you, of course. He married somebody who doesn't
nestle in. I don't think I had a slice of our wedding cake. I'm a miserable cow.
That must be the upside, mustn't it? I can see that. Well, that sounds lovely.
Honestly, Judith, it was nicely decorated. It was sort of, you know, a little bit traditional, but with some modern touches.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very comfortable. And, you know, I just thought, for once, we've kind of got it right.
You got it right, absolutely.
And it's such a rarity, isn't it? When you just think, this is a really good value, and I really like it, and I feel really comfortable. And it was as clean as a whistle, and obviously because of the new rules, and it is in a sort of special measures area. You know, nobody came near us. We just sort of shouted at each other from a distance and found this cake, and it was just... It was marvellous. It was really, and it was such a joy, Judith, to just eat food off other plates. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I do. So did you cook in?
Of course we cooked in. I mean, it was in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, I see, and you had to because of the lockdown thing.
It was proper countryside. We didn't see, and you can't go to pubs, and it's all sort of lockdown-y thing around there anyway. So, yeah, we did, you know, I cooked quite well. I did risotto, and I can't remember what else, but, you know, it was all edible. And Jeff, anyway, had his cake to fill him up if he didn't like what I cooked. It was just such a break, a complete break, and we managed the... Trinity, the Holy Trinity of the art galleries in the north. And I have to say, I mean, they were all fantastic. And I know you've done the Yorkshire Sculpture Park. And that is, it's such a brilliant day out. It really is. And we were
lucky
with the weather.
And it's so brilliantly placed, isn't it? Because it's kind of right next to the M1. I mean, how brilliant is that?
So, I know, it's really convenient.
Yeah,
and it's between sort of Leeds and Bradford and all quite a lot of big city kind of places, isn't it?
It's
in the middle of the countryside.
Mm. So you can get out, you can go for a walk, you can look at some art, you can go to the loo, you can have a coffee. I mean, you know,
what more do you want?
What's not to love?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the cafe was still open. I checked up on that first. You've got to check that these days.
Great.
But, you know, Jeff and I, we've invested in flasks these days. A flask family.
Welcome to our world, Jenny Eclair.
As soon as lockdown's over, I'm going to smash the fuckers. But, you know, at the moment, we are...
Let me guess. Sort of flask you've gone for. You haven't got now. This would be a decision that you would have made. Do I go for tartan ironically? Can I pull off the ironic tartan look or do I not? I think you'd have gone for one of those, not Ola Gerwin. What's that? Ola Gerwin? Is that right?
No. Ola Gerwin was, I think she was a war reporter.
Oh, yes, so she was. What's that woman? Yeah, the sort of scandal.
You mean Ola Keeley?
Yes,
no,
I do.
No, I bet you went for that. When you're doing flasks, I think you've got to do proper thermos and go very traditional. Jeff bought them from Amazon and just went, they're a sort of very dark navy blue traditional thermos flask. And he bought one. He got another one for nothing. So there are two of these massive great things. I think next time I'd go half size because these take a gallon. And you know me, I don't like waste. So I'm just in the car drinking. I've just got to get this whole flagon of coffee down here.
Aren't they genius ideas though, really? I've recently bought one and it's a little bit too small, but it's marvellous. You see everybody queuing up at bloody Costa and think, yes, suckers.
Yeah. Look at how much you're spending. You do two of those, two coffees for two people. That's 12 quid, Judy.
Oh, I know. Well, absolutely. We've said that before, haven't we?
So, yeah, we had, I have to say, though, out of all these galleries, the one that knocked me out the most, and I don't know whether you've ever been there, Judith, the Wakefield Barbara Hepworth is a glorious gallery in the bang slap in the middle of Wakefield by a canal, sort of on an industrial estate. This really modern, beautiful building with lovely gardens.
Wow.
And not a dud piece in it. The cafe was closed. I think that's very important we point that out. So anyway, it was great. Anyway, at the end of it all, we went back to June's and I had another attempt at going to wave at her. The nursing home, and she was all there ready for me because I said I was coming.
She?
Yes, it was really nice, and we did a lot of miming through the window.
And did you take the phone? Did you do the phone?
Yes, I don't know what happened to me. I was so het up that I couldn't find my phone, even though it was in my handbag. I went into a kind of terrible spin of just, and I was sort of laughing and crying, and then there was a tiny window, there was quite high up, there was this window, it was open a tiny crack, and so because I was sort of feeling hysterical, I climbed up on the windowsill.
Oh wow.
And I was trying to scream at my mother through this tiny crack in a window, and then there were a couple of other very old dears in the conservatory who were looking at me as if to go, well, what's the fat woman doing on the windowsill?
like a big fat robin on the windowsill.
Sort of Spider-Man gone really wrong. This is really frightening and wrong. So anyway, we managed a little chat on the phone, but it was difficult. And I went to see her sister, who's 94 and very, very upset about it all, because obviously, you know, she can't go and visit inside, and it's
difficult.
But she's 94, you know, and she's blind. She can't climb up on a windowsill. What's she meant to do? It's very
you
difficult.
You could probably teach her.
Oh God, Judy.
Yeah. Oh well, Jen. But the thing is, you'll be glad that you went. Your mum's safe. She's safe there. And she's seen you, and you've seen her. That's all you can do. It's all you can do.
At the moment, yeah.
It is at the moment.
Anyway, on some more cheerful news.
Yes.
I've got some new glasses, Judith. I've got two pairs of new glasses. I might have three pairs of new glasses.
Oh, for God's sake, you're always buying new glasses. You're always complaining to me about buying a new handbag. I've seen you. Not another new handbag. God's sake.
Judith, you have, I'd say, at last count, at least 17 handbags.
Yes, I do. I know. And none of them are right. Do you know, not one of the bloody things are right. I can never find the right bloody handbag. What is it?
And that's what really makes me laugh, because what you do is you go in with the intention of buying a handbag and you buy a handbag even though you don't really like it.
I do!
There's always something a tiny bit wrong with it. It either hasn't got a zip-up pocket inside, or it's a little bit smaller, or it's a little bit bag.
I know.
Or you don't like the shoulder strap, or... Yeah, I know. But I think this is... You like to have a collection. I think you quite like the variety. You don't just want one bag.
Well, it's an impulse. I think it is slightly an illness, actually, me and handbags. And I know, I'm still doing it.
From?
I'm still bloody doing it. I'm forever changing handbags as well, because I think, well, this is annoying. It doesn't sit up right on the table, or it, you know, I can't never find my keys, and there's not quite enough room for my lipstick anyway.
I want to finish my glasses.
Yeah, go on.
I've got a new tortoiseshell pair coming. I've got a sort of see-through green pair.
What do you mean see? Well, because it's see-through. They're glasses. You wouldn't buy something you got
you
see-through.
You fucking idiot, Judith. I'm talking about the frames. You fucking...
Yes, I know you are. What, so a bit joke. Like a kind of wine gum? Kind of wine gum effect.
I'm really liking... Well, a sort of... Not so much wine gum, which I would say was an opaque... But a boiled sweet, you know, like a fox's glacier, but they did the fruit ones.
I'm with you. Like the kind of things that people used to have in those metal containers in the glove compartment.
Yeah, yeah. Sort of like a driving sweet, but without the funny icing sugar all over. Yeah.
Why have you bought all these glasses? What's the point in that?
Well, because I have to have glasses on my face every fucking day. You don't do glasses as much as I do glasses. And I am so bored of the sight of me in my glasses because I only see me and Jeff and, you know, now and again Phoebe if I'm lucky. And not, I don't see many people these days.
Yeah.
Not in sort of, not like the old days where we used to see lots of people.
Yeah.
So I just sort of like, every time I catch sight of myself, I think, oh God, not you again, your face and those glasses. And also they're worn out, Judith, they're absolutely worn out and the lenses are all scratched and it's got to a point where, you know, it's not good for me to have them like that.
No, it must be very exciting. It must be very exciting because it must change your look, you know,
well, I'm
more
hoping
than anything could, really.
I'm that's what I'm aiming for, Judith. I'm trying to change my look because new glasses... And the jogging. Is it time? Am I allowed to?
Oh, all right then. Okay. So how are you getting on?
Well, I will be starting. This week I'll be starting week 4.
Blimey.
I have completed week 1, 2 and 3. So that's 9 runs completed. But they're not really runs yet. I mean, it's a sort of this couch to 5K thing that loads of people our age do. And you can always spot them as well. I mean, that's quite funny.
How can you spot them? Why, because they're slow?
Because it's just loads of sort of slightly overweight middle-aged women with purple faces sort of like, you know, hanging onto lampposts now and again and trying to choke back the sick. So I'm getting on quite well, apart from the fact that my bum is heavy. I can feel it. I can feel the weight of it behind me, dragging me back. It's like a sort of, you know, it's a physics thing that it's a kind of, it's a force of velocity that's kind of stopping me from going as fast as I would if I didn't have such a heavy arse. Really, I need somebody running behind me with a wheelbarrow, with my arse in the wheelbarrow.
That's an idea, isn't it?
So that I could get going a bit.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because when you see really skinny people jog, they kind of sproying, don't they? You know, they do. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're kind of, you know, springy.
Should I tell you what happened, though? I couldn't run when we were in the Calder Valley because it was a valley and it was so steep, the hill the cottage was on, it would give you a nosebleed if you tried to run. So I had to wait till I got back to my mum's place, right, on the Fylde coast, which is very flat.
Oh, nice, running by the sea, how lovely.
Yeah, but it's an estuary, it's a long way out.
Yeah, but even so.
Yeah, so it's there. No, it was beautiful. I had a really beautiful morning sort of, you know, I went about 8 o'clock. I've got this fluorescent orange zip-up hoodie thing, you know, which I've never had one like that before from Marks. And I had that on. And my mum's flat overlooks this kind of, you know, this green space with a sort of pathway overlooking the sea. And my mum's flat overlooks that. So anyway, nice. Jeff had dragged himself out of bed and he'd gone to the front window and he'd sort of looked out the window to see if he could see me coming back. And I got back in and he said, you know what, you're really good. You're really good, Jenny. I'm really impressed. And you know what? He'd been watching another woman completely, of course. When I'd gone out on this run, I clocked this other woman who looked a bit like me. And she was wearing the same fluorescent top, right, from Marks and Spencer's. And she was another fellow blonde. But there the difference ended because she was a proper kind of... She was a bit... What's that one, the running woman, Paula Thingy, that had to piss in her own pants?
Oh, yes. We'll never forget that, will we?
No. Isn't it funny that she got all those medals and everything?
Yeah.
Paula Radcliffe. And all we remember is her having to piss in her own pants.
Absolutely. Never forget it. Can't remember her name, but we knew she did that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. So he thought that you were doing really well.
Yeah.
Rats.
And I should have just kept my trap shut, shouldn't I? But
yeah,
I told
you should.
Him.
Of course you should. Of course you. Well, I'm impressed that you're still doing it. I really am. That's bloody good.
Right, now, listen, before we finish, I need to know about what's her face? You know that dog you bought? It's been a long time now, Judith. I can't remember what she's called. Poppy.
You genuinely have forgotten her name,
yeah,
haven't you?
You know, I've gone off the idea of getting a dog, so I can't.
Yeah, I've done that job for you. Job done. Has it been raining where you've been, where you are over the last few days?
Yes.
Oh my God, it just has not stopped here. And I tell you what, owning a dog when it's pissing with rain is fucking awful, but it really is.
Didn't stop me jogging, Judith. Didn't stop me jogging yesterday. Pissing down, went out on it.
Very good. good. But anyway, dogs don't like the rain. So as a result, she'd been weeing inside and completely regressing and not wanting to go for a walk. I've had to, you know, the old sausages have been out, you know, bit squares of ham. Come along, come along, come along. How'd you come? So anyway, so it was so wet the other day that I thought, well, do you know what? I'm going to have to ring Pebbles, that, you know, that her mate down the road, who's a month older, and see if Pebbles' parents, as it were, you know, maybe I could get Pebbles round so they could amuse each other. And they know each other. They like each other, you know, they play. So anyway, so I said, would you mind, you know, if I took them for a walk? No, that's fine. So up I go with Poppy on the lead. And I have never tried to walk. I've never been in such a bloody mess and tangle with anything walking along the road. I cannot tell you. They were all over each other, you know, barking, biting, rolling all over the place. Two on a lead. It honestly took me about 10 minutes to get just from up the road back to the house. Okay, so I thought, well, bugger this. I'm not going to take them for a walk. I let them play in the garden. So we got back to the garden. I let them off the lead. And they went berserk, okay? And it was a bit like sort of bringing a toddler back to play.
Yeah.
And the parents aren't there. You know, it's the first time I've ever done that. It was great responsibility. They charged around. They found a hole in the hedge and went next door. Pebbles came sort of dragging a whole load of kind of hedge behind her. Anyway, they wore themselves out. And I thought, okay, well, I better take them for walks. Said I was going to take them for a walk. So I put Pebbles' lead on first. And I don't know how this happened, Jenny, but as I was putting Poppy's lead on, Pebbles made a bolt for it. She just disappeared. I thought, oh my God. You know, there I am in charge of somebody's puppy.
But the fact is, you don't love Pebbles.
Not really.
No. I mean, it's quite a nice dog and all that kind of thing, but you're really keeping an eye on Poppy.
Yeah.
And now Pebbles has gone. Shit.
Pebbles has gone. And I just thought, oh, shit. And there was a moment, Pebbles made a bolt for it, and there was a moment when I got the ham out. I got the ham out of my bum bag because I know where
you
got.
Oh, you didn't have ham in your bum bag. Judith, you can't have ham in your bum bag. One day you're going to forget. You know what you like with your DIY bowel cancer kit, and you left that in the glove compartment for 3 weeks. Can't have.
No, you always have
unhygienic.
To have
ham in your bum bag.
I've always got ham in my bum bag these days because of the bloody dog. Anyway, so there was a moment, there was a split second when I got the ham out and I said, Pebbles, come! And showed her the ham and she stopped in her tracks. And I thought, oh, what a relief. And then she obviously decided, nah, fuck it, I'm going home. So she belted down the road, lead dangling. Oh, God.
Judith, she could have been run over.
I know, exactly. The humiliation. So I ran down. And funny enough, I thought of you. I ran down the road and I thought, bloody hell, this is difficult. I mean, I had to keep stopping. I couldn't run. Luckily, she eventually found her way home. But boy, have I got a black mark with Pebbles' family. Oh, dear.
Don't blame them. You can't be trusted. You're like a really bad childminder.
Dear me.
Oh, I enjoyed Pebbles' little adventure there. It was great. It was like listening to a story. It's like adventures with Poppy and Pebbles.
Pobbles and Pebbles.
I was like, Judith, I think you should sort of do some picture books. Just, you know, because
it's a sideline. It's another sideline.
I was just listening to that and I thought, oh, this is quite relaxing, isn't it? Listening to the adventures of these two puppies.
The adventures of Pebbles and Poppy, the puppies.
Yeah. Okay, culturally, apart from the adventures of Poppy and Pebbles, what else have you been reading, watching?
Been watching a lot of telly. There's been some very, very good telly, Jenny.
It has improved, hasn't it?
Oh, well, yes, because we've scampered on and finished Us, which I think we talked about last time briefly, but my God, that was good.
Do you know what? It just went up and up in my estimation, that one, because last time when we spoke about that, I was a bit worried about whether Tom Hollander was too sweet for it and whether it needed somebody a bit more pompous. And I, as the episodes went on, I just realised what a lovely piece of casting it was and how, what a tremendous story and how fully fledged and how it was small and yet huge at the same time. You know,
very
the story
well put.
Was quite small, but the detail sort of took you to these other worlds and reminded you of you know, the minutiae within a marriage.
Oh, very much so. It was sort of blended and complicated and, as you say, layered. It was wonderful, actually. I really, really enjoyed that series and also very, very funny.
also TV-wise, in terms of drama, I think showing some potential is Life. Have you watched Life on the
loving
BBC?
Loving it. Absolutely loving it. And I love that Mike Bartlett's writing. You know, he wrote, well, obviously he wrote Dr. Foster. But Alison Steadman's performance in that, I think, is the best I've ever seen her do.
And she's good. She's good even when she's being rubbish. I mean, she's not capable of being rubbish, but she's just good, isn't she?
Oh, Alison really
Steadman
good,
but, is I mean, there is a quality.
Yeah. There's a sort of dilemma in that, which, yeah, I don't know how many people have seen it yet, but we've sort of scampered on the iPlayer. You know, the sort of older couple who she just reaches 70, but that sort of, you know, old, stale, difficult marriage.
Oh, and he's so difficult. He's a twat. Yeah. But then there is a dilemma that, and it's really worth a watch. Now, I'm going to throw down my gauntlet here, Judith, and I'd like you to watch something for me, something I'm really, really enjoying, and I just wonder whether you would too. And it's my new favourite escapist TV, and it's the band Little Mix, which is a sort of four girls that sing together. They're a singing sensation. They're
popular.
You know, they're like worldwide famous, and they're in a TV search for a band to support them on their next tour. And they're auditioning all these different kinds of bands, boy bands, girl bands, vocalists, all this sort of R&B music, all sorts of different bands. At the end, it's going to be a battle of the bands. Which
band sounds awful.
It's fucking great, Judith.
It sounds terrible.
Love them. I love Little Mix, and I love this series. And it's my new sort of cheap, disposable, oh, God, isn't this marvellous television? I'm loving every minute of it.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'll watch it with an open mind.
Okay, right. You won't have an open mind at all, I know.
No,
you
won't.
You'll be watching it full of your bum bag full of ham, and the ham will be going off, and you'll think, this is rubbish. But the best film on Netflix, and I genuinely think that you would enjoy this if you haven't seen it, and it's Enola Holmes. Have you heard or seen this? Oh, God, Judith,
no.
I genuinely
Is this a recent film, a new film?
Yeah, it's a new film, and it stars a 16-year-old Millie Bobby Brown, who all the young people know. And she's playing Enola Holmes, who is the teenage sister of the already famous Sherlock.
Oh, I see.
And it's for kids, but it's for everybody. It's a family film, and it's one of those feel-goods, and the leads are great, and the costumes are adorable, and Helena Bonham Carter is the mother who disappears, and she's fantastic. And I wanted it to go on forever and ever. Imagine Little Women, costume-wise, crossed with a Sherlock Holmes.
Wow.
Judith, ooh. Honestly, next time it's raining, I'm going to ring you up and say, now, go and watch Enola Holmes.
Well, that sounds like a really, really good tip.
Now, what about emails, Judith? Has anything caught your eye? We've had some lovely emails recently.
We have. We've had... I tell you what. We have had an email from Paula, aged 51, exactly, from Salisbury. Now, she... Hello, lovely ladies. She says, long-time listener, first-time emailer. Just
Very
wondered
welcome.
If... Yes, welcome. Just wondered if you'd considered a Blue Peter style annual full of crafts, recipes and funny stories. I'm sure all us oldies would love it. Thanks for the company.
Well,
what
we thought
a bloody
of it
good
now,
idea.
Haven't we? She's put that idea in our heads and we're going to take it and run with it, Judith, to the nearest publishers.
Yes, whether they'll actually give us permission to make it, I don't know. Yeah, but what a bloody good idea, Paula.
Paula. If we actually manage to get a deal on that, you're going to get a free copy. You're not going to get anything else, but, you know, thank you very much for the idea. It's brilliant. It's our idea now, by the way.
Yeah, of course it is.
Finally, we had an email from Kirsty, 49 and 2 weeks. She's one of our younger listeners. She enjoyed our discussion about buying jeans and says she would like a problem/solution discussion on the podcast to do with middle-aged body shape and style secrets would be very welcome. Well, that's a tricky one for us a bit, Judith, isn't it?
What are we going to do about that?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, your star solution is ham in a bum bag. And mine is basically putting a dressing gown on top of everything.
Oh, well, do you know, that's a marvellous solution for everything, isn't it, really? Oh, I love my dressing gown, don't you? Especially, I've got the winter one out now, have you? Have you got the winter one out?
I don't have a summer one. So I just have, yes, I've got a very nice winter one though, and it's sitting there, it's waiting. I'm not quite there yet.
Oh.
But that'll be when we start lighting the fire, and that's
a big night in, isn't it?
Who knows, that could happen this week. So, you know, that's a big date for our diary, isn't it? Possibly the most exciting thing that's going to happen in, you know, over the next few weeks, because let's face it, it's still all very dull out there, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah. Anyway, I need a poo. So I'm going to love you and leave you. I've been sitting on this for quite a while now.
Lovely.
And I think I might impact my colon if I don't go and do something about it.
Too much information.
Rather than do myself a mischief, I'm going to say goodbye, Judith, and goodbye, Daisy. I'm very glad that everyone got back from their holidays safe and sound. And continue to take care of yourselves, please, ladies, and everybody else who's listening. Yeah. Lots of love.
Yeah, lots of love. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hello gang, Judith here, just to say that the fantastic course that I did at the Norfolk Painting School in Fakenham in Norfolk was called Simply Oils, and it is basically £400 and it is rather brilliant. They sell out very quickly. And also Martin is doing studio talks online for £2.50 a session, where you can watch him paint and ask him questions online, which also is a rather good idea. Anyway, enjoy. Bye.